The life of country music legend Patsy Cline has inspired more than one holiday performance this year. Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Kaya Bondi played the singer for more than a decade in the traveling production of Always Patsy Cline. Now, Alex Newcomb Weiland is singing the songs of Patsy Cline in a holiday tribute show. Both musicians stopped by the SDPB studios to talk about Patsy.
Alex and her dad came to me about a year ago, a little more than a year ago, and wanting to do the kind of the same show that I did. That's what we talked about, Always Patsy Cline, just to talk about what were the possibilities of doing it, how did it work, you know, all of it. And it's a big show to do. It was a big undertaking to take on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I said I'd be glad, Brian, my husband, who was the director at the time, glad to help, glad to consult, glad to all those things, whatever they wanted. I think I was more impressed with Alex's passion for the music, that I could tell that she felt the same way about Patsy that I did. Yeah. Mm. And that was what really made me want to help her and want to talk to her and want to kind of coach her through this if I could. So then about a year later, you know, we kind of decided Always Patsy Cline wasn't going to be the thing to do. It's exorbitantly expensive to do that show.
Yeah.
So Alex decided to just do a tribute and contacted me again. We got together a few times at my house and just went through the songs. We just kind of sang for each other. Once I heard her sing, we were sitting in my family room and she said, go for it. And she was nervous. And I just said, do it. Just sing it. And she opened her mouth and it was like, she's good. Nope, we're good. We got this. You're good.
Why did you want to do her work, perform her songs, Patsy's?
Maybe unbeknownst to Kaya, my obsession with her has gone back a long time. I saw Always Patsy Cline at the Orpheum when she did it with my grandma, who on my mom's side, who brought Patsy's music into our family. So I've grown up listening to it since I was born. You know, my dad was playing it for me in the womb or something. I don't know. But like, it's been a part of my life forever. I've always loved it. And then also watching Kaya, how many years that we, you know, ago that
nine
that production
seasons.
Was.
Not for people who don't remember, 9 seasons of Always Patsy Cline traveled across the state and the region. Mm-hmm. More than 250,000 people saw the show.
Something like that.
Holy.
And then you
cool.
brought it back in what, 2013?
Wow.
Yeah, we did 2 reunion shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was crazy nuts too. So
I'm crazy for feeling. So lonely.
When's the first time you heard the music of Patsy Cline that you remember?
Oh my gosh, Lori. I don't, I would have had to have been probably in high school, you know. But I couldn't say that I was like, you know, this huge fan or anything. It was just Patsy. This was the 80s, you know. And then I remember when karaoke first came out, you know, years and years ago. Going to a karaoke bar and thinking, well, I can do this. I can sing this song. And, and like I've always told Alex, Patsy was right in my wheelhouse. Just that we're sang in the same key.
That B flat. Yes.
B flat. Yeah. Every time. And that's my key. When I first saw the Always Patsy Cline show, it was actually in Chicago. At a theater that my husband and I had been to many times before and seen other shows that we produced in South Dakota. We saw Always Patsy, got back to our hotel room, and Brian said, you can do this. Mm. You can do this. I'm like, I can't do a whole Patsy. What are you talking about? Yeah. That was a year before we opened. And that's how it started. That was 1997, and we opened in 98.
What resonated with audiences? Why do you think that show and the music of Patsy Cline was such a draw?
Oh, gosh, for so many reasons. Alex and I have talked about this a lot, too. I think it's because the mystery, you know. I think that's a big part of it because she just died so young and so early and so tragically.
Yeah.
And it was always about what would she have done, you know. What?
She's 30.
She was 30 when she
1963.
Died.
1963.
Yeah.
And a plane crash.
Yeah. Yep. In Camden, Tennessee. She was on her way back from a performance in Kansas City. And I mean, Patsy history. But I think the thing that resonated with audiences, at least for my audiences, a lot of them would say, you know, I grew up with her, or I, mm-hmm. you know, my husband proposed with this song, or we, you know, this was our first dance at our wedding, or something like that. It was so personal. And I also think the other thing was her story, and mm-hmm. the show told not all of her story, but a lot of it. And people don't know her story, mm-hmm. you know. It was a pretty fascinating story for only being around for a short time. She only recorded for 6 years.
Mm. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, Alex, you grow up, or you see Kaya perform this, and mm-hmm. you have the music in your home. Mm-hmm. What were the things that inspired or resonated with you where you thought, like, I need to keep this alive on the stage now? With my own voice.
The first part of that, it was a passion project for my dad and myself. He and I love, he's my master collaborator. He and I always love to produce and work together on putting enjoyable performances together. Unfortunately, it was actually the passing of my grandma, who introduced Patsy Cline to us, that we decided we wanted to kind of do a tribute to her in a way. And like what she had brought into our family and had supplied our family was such incredible music mm-hmm. and an incredible human that we got to learn about and study and admire. Her passing was kind of the momentum that got us to be like, we should do this and talk to Kaya about it and see if Kaya is okay and like wants to help us make this happen, you know. And
and the audience was really responding to you during the first tribute show.
They were
show,
so kind.
And you have another tribute show coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have one on the 12th and the 13th of December. At Icon Events and Lounge, or Dada Gastropub.
Sure. Are there songs particularly that resonate with you? Do you have a favorite to perform, either one of you?
Well, mine would either be I Fall to Pieces.
Because mm-hmm. you can get just, that B-flat, girl.
Yeah, it's just got that quintessential sound to it.
It's beautiful, yeah.
And the one that you and I performed together, we did Faded Love. Mm-hmm. That's another one that I love to do. I really love them all. I mean, I really do. And I never, ever got tired of singing them. But one thing I wanted to say after your comment about your dad, too, was that was the other thing that really enticed me, because this was going to be about Alex and her family during the show. And that was what our show was about. It was about family. My brother was my tech director. My husband was my director. My kids sold tickets and merch. You know, it was a family affair. Yeah. And that's what they were going to do. And that's what really made me want to help them.
And you're on stage this month as well.
Yeah, I am. We're doing the Fiddler Show with Kenny Putnam and Tom Schaefer and Boyd Bristow and Mike Connor and Al Raymond and Larry Rohr and Brian and myself. So this is our fourth Christmas Fiddler Show.
What does it mean to take that to the stage and bring some of those tunes just to be together
It's great to be together with the guys. They're just professionals through and through. We've been rehearsing. The Sioux Falls crew has been rehearsing for about 6 weeks now, pretty hot and heavy. They take it very seriously. And I love that because it makes you just kind of rise to that mm-hmm. standard. And every time I take the stage with those guys, it's just, it's kind of surreal.
What is it about Patsy herself? The music, her voice, her personality, I mean, she's a vanguard. She's a trailblazer at the time.
She is, yeah.
What stands out to you as, you know, performers all these years later? We wouldn't be doing what we're doing right now, the two of you, if she hadn't done some of the things that she, I mean, wear pants, for example.
No, 100% though. That was an iconic moment in my Patsy research as I was scanning all the videos and, you know, reading all the things. And she got made fun of for wearing pants on national television or like some, I don't know if it was national or local, but.
Crazy.
Yeah. So that actually was an example right there. Another thing that I love about her is just how like real and raw she was. She didn't really, and we talked about this kind of too, but didn't have any like vocal training, right? Didn't really have any background maybe in music other than growing up in kind of the music culture of that time.
Right.
And so that, as someone who studies voice so specifically, is so interesting to me to listen to her manipulate her vocal cords and figure out how she's making the sound she is, because she's not thinking about it. She's just doing it.
It came so naturally.
But as studying her, I'm like, how do I do that? Or how did she do that? Right. So it's just so interesting to know that she's such a natural, like raw talent.
We can't try to sound exactly like her. All we can try to do is just kind of emulate her sound. Mm-hmm. And because there's just nobody sounds like.
It's her. Yeah. We are not Patsy, right? We're not. That's what Kaya always said. I'm not Patsy. I'm not Patsy. I'm just playing Patsy.
So, Kaya, give me an example of something vocally that she did that you play with now.
Patsy always sang on the back of the note. She always comes in on the back side of the note. And it took me a long time to figure out what that meant. But once you do figure out what it means, it sounds so cool. Because it's the you're hearing the note, and then you hear the voice. You hear the, and it's that was just her signature sound. There's the swoops and the slides and all of that. But she also had scarlet fever when she was a young girl. And that's what affected her vocal cords. And that's what gave her that thing in her voice that we can't get. But we tried. Yeah. And it's that growl, you know? That
After so many years of doing her songs and performing them on stage, and you're getting started doing this, but you've been on stage a lot, what is her music given to you?
Oh, everything. Absolutely. For me, as a veteran performer, it's given me a huge audience and a huge following. And the thing that, that happens, though, and it's so funny because I was at the show, at Alex's show, with my partner, Jill Johnson. And Jill looks exactly the same as she did on stage. You know, I wore a wig. Everyone always recognized Jill. Nobody recognized me. And even someone that night at your show was just all over Jill. She gave me a platform. She gave me these guys that I get to play with on Thursday night and play with in the hills. And those musicians would have never come into my life if it hadn't been for Patsy Cline.
That's beautiful.
Alex, for you?
For me, I guess it's similar, but it's still new in that way of it is giving me a space to work on my own craft, and she's giving me a space to work on my own craft. And I work independently kind of, you know, in theater, but I'm not really on the performance side as much as I like to be. And so having her, having the show be a vessel for me to be able to put my artistry into in the way that I love to is really important. But she also, kind of going back to the vocal, because that's what I'm obsessed with apparently, but as we all are, but she really has helped me understand being okay with noises and finding freedom in my vocals that aren't so restrictive. So she did her own thing, right? She went up there and she was proud of who she was. She wore pants on television, right? All these things that we kind of can see as a big moment in that time. And she gives me confidence, which is something I really appreciate as a performer and as a person, and just harness that like individual self, yourself inside
of
you.
And that's who she was.
Yeah.
100%.
Is it easy to find and connect to that freedom the older you get?
Yeah. She gave me the confidence in my own voice that I didn't really have as a stage performer, as a musical theater actress.
Yes.
She gave me the confidence to be a musician.
I agree with that. Yeah.
I used to have this huge break in my voice. I still have the break. But Patsy's music and the way Patsy sang made me figure out how to ride through that break. And the break was okay. And I could sing in my head voice. And, I could do all these things. And she, very empowering.
Yeah.
I'm just very, very proud of Alex for taking this on, and I want her to know that. It makes me cry. and for asking me if it was okay if she did it. I don't own anything with Patsy Cline, but the fact that you wanted to honor me by doing that really meant a lot to me.
Well, to you it means, to me it means the same. I'm just so grateful that you're willing to donate your lovely time to me to help me curate this and make it so impressive and specific and honorable to Patsy and also to everyone that loves her. So thank you.
No, it's just great to pass the torch because people ask me all the time, when are you going to do Patsy again? I'm not. You are. You are.
I miss you, darling, more and more every day.
That's Alex Newcomb-Wyland singing the music of Patsy Cline. Kaya Bondi's Holiday for Fiddles is at the Performing Arts Center in Rapid City. That's on December 6th. Christmas Without You is the name of the Patsy Cline tribute show. That's December 12th and 13th in Sioux Falls. We'll put all those details up on our website at sdpb.org/news. And you can always find live performances across the state by heading over to our community calendar page. That's at sdpb.org/calendar. And that's our conversation for today. We hope that it served you. From all of us here at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thank you for listening.